My wife was very helpful this week and helped me make some bookmarks. If you'd like a bookmark, raise your hand, and my little helpers here are going to pass them out for you. It's on the Book of Acts. And switched. If I want someone to listen to me, I bribe them with gifts first. Hopefully it'll help maybe follow along also. Today's the first Lord's Day of the new decade, and I think it's natural to think about various beginnings. We've had to think about a lot of endings lately. We've had several funerals. And so that has made me think about the church. And what will it look like in 2030, 10 years from now? Many of us won't be here anymore. Many of us will have gone on and recongregate on that other side with people that we love. Will you be here? Or will you fall away? Will you remain strong? Think about your life this morning. Will you be here if the Lord allows you to? Will we have men that have been living lives in the next 10 years, thinking about God and directing their family so that they might be able to serve as shepherds and servants in the congregation? Will that be possible? We have children's class. We have a row that almost overflows now. What about them? What will become of them in 10 years as they're exiting their late teens and going to their early 20s? Will they be grounded? Will they be wanting to serve the Lord? When Elijah ascended into heaven, Elisha picked up his mantle. And I want us to think about that this morning. This morning I'd like to review with you the beginning of the church that we find in the book of Acts. I've entered my third month of teaching the book of John, and we're on chapter 5. So I decided to start the new year with challenging myself to go through the entire book of Acts in the next 15 minutes. You ready? I got my helpers. Are they ready to go? Okay. We'll see what happens. Chapter 1. Luke again is writing to Theophilus and reminds him that his first book was all about what Jesus began to do and teach. We discover that Jesus appeared to many people over a period of 40 days after his resurrection. Before his ascension, Jesus tells the disciples to not leave Jerusalem, because they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days, probably around 10 days later, after he went to his Father. Two men in white robes say that Jesus will return in the same way that he has ascended. The disciples return to Jerusalem. Peter stands up and says a replacement must be found for Judas to fulfill the scriptures. The candidates are Barsabbas and Matthias is chosen by the casting of lots. Chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire descend on the disciples, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. All of those present hear their own language being spoken. Peter preaches. The disciples are not drunk, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit, as foretold by Joel. Peter preaches the risen Jesus, the Christ referred to by David and the Psalms. Peter accuses them of killing this Jesus, and the people are sorry and ask what to do. Peter commands them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. 3,000 people answer that call. Those that join the church share of their wealth whenever any one of them has a need. Chapter 3. On their way to the temple to pray, Peter and John find a 40-year-old paralyzed beggar lying at the beautiful gate. Peter heals him in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone is filled with amazement. Peter asks why they are all so surprised and refers to Deuteronomy 18, where Moses says a prophet will be raised up like him and that whoever rejects that prophet will be utterly destroyed. Chapter 4, the Sadducees have Peter and John arrested for preaching the resurrection of the dead. They are brought before the Sanhedrin and asked by what power they are doing these things. Peter says in verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." The church continues to share so that none of the members are needy. Barnabas sells some land and lays the money at the apostles' feet. The church's number increases to at least 5,000. Chapter 5, a man called Ananias and his wife Sapphira sell their possessions, but they lie about the proceeds. They both fall down dead. Many wonders are performed throughout the city with many healed. The high priest puts the apostles in jail, but an angel frees them. They are arrested again, but they proclaim in verse 29, "We must obey God rather than men." A Pharisee named Gamaliel persuades the Sanhedrin to let them go. They are flogged, but the apostles continue to preach with joy. In chapter 6, the Hellenists complain to the Hebrews that their widows are being ignored in the daily distribution of the food. The apostles appoint 7 men to take care of this. One of them, Stephen, performs great wonders and with the Spirit overcomes the arguments of the synagogue of the freedmen. The Jews falsely accuse Stephen and take him before the Sanhedrin. In chapter 7, Stephen reminds them of their history from Abraham all the way to Solomon and points out that they had always killed the prophets and now they had killed the Messiah as well. When Stephen says he sees the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father, the people are enraged and begin stoning him. Stephen asks the Lord to forgive them as he dies. A young man by the name of Saul gave approval to Stephen's death. In chapter 8, Saul begins trying to destroy the church. Philip preached the gospel to the Samaritans and converted Simon the sorcerer. Only the apostles can pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so Peter and John traveled to Samaria. Simon asks Peter if he can buy this power of passing on the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Peter tells him to pray and repent. An angel of the Lord sends Philip to an Ethiopian who is reading Isaiah 53. Philip explains who the slaughtered lamb was and what he did. The Ethiopian accepts Christ and is also baptized. In chapter 9, on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, Saul meets Jesus and is struck blind for 3 days. Jesus tells a man named Ananias to meet Saul and restore his sight. Ananias is skeptical, but the Lord tells him that Saul will be his messenger to the Gentiles and will suffer great things in his name. Saul obeys the Lord's calling and is also baptized. In Damascus, Saul begins proving that Jesus is the Christ. The Jews plot to kill Saul, so he escapes in a basket over the walls of Damascus. Saul goes to Jerusalem, and Barnabas, the encourager, vouches for him. Some of the Jews try to kill him, so they send him to Tarsus. The churches prosper. Peter heals Enos the paralytic and then raises Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, from the dead. In chapter 10, Cornelius, a God-serving Roman centurion, is told by an angel to go to Peter. Peter has a vision of a large sheep full of all kinds of animals and is told to kill and eat. Peter refuses 3 times and the sheep returns to heaven. After the vision, Peter meets Cornelius and understands that the vision meant that the salvation was going to be offered to the Gentiles as well. While Peter is preaching about the risen Christ, the Holy Spirit descends on the Gentiles who begin speaking in tongues just like the apostles had in chapter 2. Peter immediately orders them all to be baptized into the name of Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 11, the Jerusalem Jews were upset that Peter was associating with Gentiles. Peter retells the story of the vision and how the Gentiles received the same miraculous gifts directly from God just like the apostles had. Peter could not withstand God, which is why he ordered them to be baptized and become part of the church. The church in Antioch began to grow as the Gentiles turned to the Lord. Barnabas and Saul were members of that congregation, and people started calling them Christians. Agabus prophesied about a great famine, so the church at Antioch sent Saul and Barnabas with relief to their brethren in Jerusalem. In chapter 12, Herod Agrippa I kills the apostle James and he arrests Peter during the Passover. An angel causes Peter's chains to fall off and helps him to escape. Peter goes to the house of Mary, mother of John Mark, where the church was praying. A girl named Rhoda tells the people that Peter has come, but she is not believed until they see Peter for themselves. The people of Tyre and Sidon praise Herod as a god rather than a man. Because Herod did not correct them, an angel strikes him down, and he is eaten by worms. In chapter 13, Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark start their first journey. On the island of Cyprus, they meet the governor Sergius Paulus, who wanted to hear the word of God. Saul is called Paul from this time forward. A false prophet named Bar-Jesus is struck blind by Paul, reminiscent of what had happened to himself on the way to Damascus. John Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas traveled to Antioch and Pisidia, where many more people believed. Some Jews chased Paul and Barnabas from the region, and they traveled to Iconium. In chapter 14, many believed in Iconium, but Paul and Barnabas had to flee to Lystra and Derbe. In Lystra, Paul cured a lame man, and the people said that Paul and Barnabas were gods, Greek gods, and tried to worship them. Jews from Iconium and Antioch came and stoned Paul, but he survived. In verse 23, they appointed elders in each congregation with praying and fasting, and then they returned to their home congregation in Antioch. In chapter 15, Jews from Judea teach that circumcision is necessary for Christians. The apostles and elders in Jerusalem debate the issue, and letters are sent to all the churches saying that circumcision is not necessary, but to avoid idolatry, blood, things eaten, things that are strangled, and sexual immorality. Judas and Silas deliver this letter to Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas were. Paul and Barnabas decided to visit all the churches they had established, but they argue about whether to take John Mark again. Barnabas takes John Mark, and they go to Cyprus. Paul takes Silas with him to Syria and Cilicia. In chapter 16, Paul went to Derbe and Lystra, where he met Timothy, a Christian with a Jewish mother but a Greek father. Timothy was willing to be circumcised to avoid conflict among the brethren. They travel through Phrygia and Galatia, but the Holy Spirit forbids them to travel to Asia. Paul has a vision of a man inviting him to Macedonia. Paul and his companions, which probably includes Luke now, travel to Philippi and stay with a devout woman called Lydia, whose family accepts the Lord and all are baptized. Paul casts a demon out of a slave girl, and they are arrested, beaten, and imprisoned because of the slave girl's owners. At night, an earthquake opens the door and releases their chains. The jailer is about to kill himself, thinking his prisoners have escaped, but Paul and Silas reveal themselves to him. The jailer and his family also accept the Lord, and they all are baptized. The next day, Paul and Silas are freed by the magistrates, who are very nervous when they are told that Paul and Silas are Roman citizens. Chapter 17, Paul preaches for 3 weeks in Thessalonica, and some believe, but some envious Jews started a riot, so they went to Berea. There was more success in Berea because they were of more noble character, and they searched the scriptures daily. Paul then preached in Athens about an inscription he saw to the unknown God. More people accepted, more people were baptized, and the church continued to grow. In chapter 18, Paul arrived in Corinth and stayed with fellow tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla, who had just been kicked out of Rome. Paul preached in Corinth for 1.5 years, and many of them believed, and many of them were baptized. Paul cuts his hair in Centuria for a vow he had made, and then travels to Ephesus with Aquila and Priscilla and leaves them there as he returns to his home congregation in Antioch. In the meantime, back in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla teach a man named Apollos more about Christ. The church at Ephesus then encouraged Apollos to go preach in Corinth, in the Greece area, and sent him with a letter of recommendation. In chapter 19, after Apollos had left Ephesus, Paul fulfilled his promise to come back to them and found 12 men who had received John's baptism. They then were baptized into Jesus' name and received the Holy Spirit. Paul performed many miraculous healings. The 7 sons of Sceva tried to cast out demons in the name of Lord Jesus, but the evil spirits beat them up instead. Many Ephesians renounced their idolatry and accepted the Lord and were baptized. Demetrius, a maker of idols to Artemis, opposed Paul because his business had suffered. A riot started, which was finally calmed by the city clerk. Paul was in Ephesus for about 3.5 years. In chapter 20, Paul travels to Greece where he preached for 3 months, and then he went through Macedonia to arrive at Troas. On the first day of the week when the church was breaking bread, as Nick reminded us earlier, Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. Paul traveled to Miletus on his way to Jerusalem and sends for the elders of the church in Ephesus to meet him. Paul says he will face trials, chains, and tribulations in Jerusalem, and that they would not see his face again. Paul warns against the savage wolves who will preach perverse things. With many tears, the elders of Ephesus sent him on his way. In chapter 21, Paul sails to Syria and is warned by disciples in Tyre not to go to Jerusalem. In Caesarea, the prophet Agabus binds his hands and feet with Paul's belt and tells him the Jews in Jerusalem will bind Paul in the same way. Paul says he is willing to die for the Lord Jesus. Paul goes to Jerusalem and agrees to pay the expenses of 4 Jews who are making a vow. Jews from Asia stir a mob against Paul, and Roman soldiers arrest Paul, who then asks to be allowed to speak to the crowd. In chapter 22, Paul recounts his life of a zealous Jew studying under Gamaliel, who persecuted Christians and then was converted by the risen Jesus. When he mentions that he was sent to the Gentiles, the crowd riots. The commander orders that Paul be flogged, but changes his mind when Paul tells him he is a naturally born Roman citizen. The Roman commander decides to have Paul speak before the Sanhedrin. In chapter 23, Paul divides the Sadducees and the Pharisees by claiming that he was a Pharisee who believes in the resurrection of the dead. Paul is re-imprisoned by the Roman commander and is told in a dream that he will go to Rome and testify there. 40 Jews vow not to eat or drink until they have laid an ambush to kill Paul. Paul's nephew learns of this plot, and he tells the commander Claudius Lysias. Paul is sent to Caesarea with a full military escort and a letter referring his case to the governor Felix. In chapter 24, Ananias, the high priest, and a lawyer named Tertullus give false evidence against Paul. Paul is accused of being a member of the Nazarene sect and bringing Trophimus, a Gentile, into the temple. Paul admits he is a member of the Way, but denies any other wrongdoing. He said he was on trial for believing in the resurrection of the dead. Felix later takes his Jewish wife Drusilla to hear Paul speak of Christ. Felix puts off the trial for 2 years, hoping that Paul will bribe him to be released. In chapter 25, when Felix is replaced by Festus, Paul's Jewish accusers decide to retry the case against Paul. Paul appeals to Caesar. Festus explains the case involving Paul to the visiting King Agrippa and his sister Bernice. Festus wants to know what charges he should specify in his letter to Caesar. In chapter 26, Paul again recounts his life as a zealous Jew who persecuted the church, but then was converted by the risen Jesus. Festus tells Paul that he is out of his mind, but Paul says Agrippa knows about these things. Agrippa says, "Did you really think you could convert me to be a Christian in such a short amount of time?" Paul responds that he hoped everyone listening to him would accept Christ. Agrippa comments that Paul would have been set free had he not appealed to Caesar. In chapter 27, Paul is taken by ship to the island of Crete. The decision is made to sail on despite Paul's warning. The ship quickly runs into a storm. Paul tells the crew that God told him no one would die. On the 14th night of the storm, Paul prays and encourages the passengers and crew. The ship runs aground, and all make it to the shore just as God had promised. Finally, in chapter 28, they were shipwrecked on Malta. Paul is bitten by a viper, and when he is unharmed, they think he is a god. Paul healed many people on the island while they were there for 3 months. Paul finally arrives at Rome, where he met the Jewish leaders and preached about the kingdom of God and proved that Moses and the prophets had foretold the coming of Christ. Many more believed and were baptized and were added to the church. Paul spent 2 years in a rented house in Rome. The book of Acts ends describing Paul. He boldly and without hindrance proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the story of the church. Christ was resurrected and was seen of men. He ascended on high and was glorified by his Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to the world. The apostles and then evangelists such as Philip and Timothy and Titus spread the word, and people answered the call by repenting and being immersed, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. The apostles and evangelists would then appoint elders in each congregation to take care of the flock. Many earthly kingdoms have come and gone since that time. But as Daniel chapter 2 prophesied, the kingdom of Christ will stand forever. But how will it stand? It continues because the next generation has picked up the mantle. 60 years ago, this last November, when this congregation started, Tom's grandfather, Eugene Suddeth, an evangelist, picked up the mantle. And he watched over this flock until elders could be put in. Later, my grandfather and Ginger's grandfather picked up the mantle. And they accepted the eldership. They had the oversight of the flock and they watched carefully. This morning, little Jed was sick and Kelsey texted out, I need someone to take my class to teach the toddlers this morning. And Kaylee picked up the mantle. What will the next decade bring? I urge all of us to pick up the mantle and continue in the apostles' doctrine as prescribed in the book of Acts. We can start by becoming a member of the way, as Paul said he was. And the way to do that is to be immersed into the name of Jesus Christ as we stand and as we sing.